Your dad was John McCain.
Yes. My dad was a huge music fan. I'm going to tell you right now, my dad loved Willie Nelson. And people are like, you can't say he liked Willie Nelson because he dodged his taxes, blah, blah, blah. Well, he loved Willie Nelson. He did.
Everybody thinks they can do it. How can I become a professional wrestler? You really can't.
I pulled out the gun and I shot two times.
We have a complicated family. We were all raised to argue with each other with intensity, with passion, but also to love each other.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. How many of us, when we're in the midst of receiving medical care, think about what our doctors, nurses, techs are doing in their free time? I think it's fair to say that we're far more focused on our own well-being. But next time you're at the Milwaukee Regional Medical Center, you might want to ask your caretaker if they're a musician. Joining us is Dr. Sarah Winia Smith. She's a research scientist at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and she's also the Director of Community Engagement for the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra and their jazz ensemble. We're going to talk all about it. But a lot of people are not aware, Sarah, that there is an orchestra made up completely of staff from the medical college.
Yeah, a full symphony orchestra. So a symphony orchestra being everything from violins to brass instruments to woodwinds to percussion, just like you would see in the professional Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, but all comprised of doctors and nurses and research scientists and technicians and administrative staff from the Medical College of Wisconsin, Children's Wisconsin, Frederick Hospital, the Veterans Administration VA Hospital, and more.
All right, so how did this all come about?
It was kind of a crazy story. So back in 2019, a postdoctoral researcher from Ireland named Paul McCusker was working in a lab at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Paul happened to, in addition to having a PhD, have a degree in conducting and was looking for an orchestra to play in or conduct in. He's also a violinist. Well, there wasn't one at the school at that time. There was only an a cappella singing group. And so Paul decided he was going to start the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra. I am not entirely sure how he found the first people, but he recruited some medical students who knew some staff that played instruments, things that had just come up in conversation randomly. And then as the network grew bigger, word got out that starting in January of 2019, there was going to be a rehearsal on campus. Come, bring your instrument. We'll take anybody that shows up. And surprisingly, pretty balanced group showed up of strings, winds, percussion, and brass. And we took it from there. And now we do three or four concerts a year, and we're a very well-established group on the campus.
How did you first learn that they were forming an orchestra?
A colleague of mine in the biochemistry department who plays the French horn had heard that they were starting an orchestra, and he told my husband, who is also a member of the orchestra and a scientist in biochemistry, a professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin, that this was happening. My husband told me, and I was very excited because that is a huge musical opportunity.
And what instrument do you play?
I play the trumpet mainly, although in this group I have also substituted in on percussion when they needed parts. Sometimes there's too many trumpet players. You got to limit the sound. It can't be too loud to overpower those strings. So they might send us to the back occasionally. And I have also played piano in some of the smaller ensembles that we have.
This is interesting because you said that first rehearsal, a lot of people showed up. You didn't know who. But it came up pretty balanced. How many musicians were there?
At the first couple of rehearsals, I would want to say it was in the 30 to 40 range. Although now we're pretty stable at about 50 musicians for every concert cycle. We kind of go concert by concert, ask, you know, can you commit to this couple months worth of rehearsals and a concert? And, you know, there's no strings attached. You have to play for all year or anything. You just commit to concert by concert. You know, all of our busy schedules end up being hard to manage sometimes.
Well, you mentioned the busy schedules because you're all medical professionals. You all have very demanding schedules. How do you make time for rehearsals of something that's so specific as you're getting together with 40 some other people?
There's an understanding that given the nature of our profession, that sometimes things come up. We have, for example, one of my section mates, a trumpet player, is a resident physician in trauma surgery. So if she's late, we understand because she's saving a life at that time. There's just a lot of grace given for people's schedules and being flexible. But at the same time, I think a lot of us that have more power over our schedules make a priority to always block out that time because it's so important to our mental health to make music together with each other.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
You need to be very motivated, I'm going to get my goals in order to succeed. And the same is true of becoming an accomplished musician.
Sarah Winnia Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra shares how skills that you need as a doctor are enhanced by being a musician.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with Sarah Winnia Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra. You're all trained as professionals, and obviously medical doctors, they go through residencies and everything else. You've got a lot of things you've been doing through the years. How many of you hadn't picked up an instrument in a long time?
There are numerous of us. The most amplified example I can think of is in our horn section, there was somebody that hadn't played for 30 years. But he was so excited when he heard of who else was going to be in the group and the idea of playing in an ensemble again that he picked it up and he practiced a ton. And it takes a while to get your skills back. But, you know, those neural pathways are pretty hardwired when you spent a lot of your childhood, as most of us did, playing instruments until we chose a medical or scientific career. And just the reward that you get from playing an instrument is important enough to give you that motivation to practice and regain the skills. I had it happen to myself, actually. I had been playing a little bit in another group, but I had given up most of my musical life as a postdoctoral researcher. And then once I became a mother, I really just didn't have time for it anymore. But the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra, once it came into my life, gave me the motivation to practice more and more and pursue new musical outlets.
I find it interesting that so many medical professionals studied music when they were children.
There are so many of us. I think there are people in this group that I think could pursue music professionally. I mean, and many of them do play professionally here and there, like will be booked for, you know, weddings, that kind of thing. It I think goes along with the personality. I mean, sometimes you might think it conflicts with the hard sciences. You know, it's just so rigid and thinking, memorize this, memorize that. But a lot of the skills that you need to thrive in a medical environment, being able to just work hard at something until you get it, it's also common to music. So many of us spent a lot of our childhood practicing a ton.
Is there a correlation, do you think, between music and being talented or having the acumen for science and math?
I have not done a study and I have not read the studies. That's my disclaimer as a medical research scientist. But certainly casually, many of us noticed during our undergrad years, I think, you know, when you're mixed in with the music majors in your college ensembles, boy, there's a lot of scientists here as well as music majors. I wonder if there's something to this.
Well, I think a lot has to do with discipline, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. You need to be very motivated, I'm going to get my goals in order to succeed at, you know, becoming a physician or a scientist. And the same is true of becoming an accomplished musician.
I have to go back to those first rehearsals, because you said there was a surprise as to how many people showed up the first time. And plus, how diverse it was in terms of making up an orchestra. How did it come about that you kind of organized things? I mean, who was in charge and how did they determine who was going to play what and what music you were going to perform?
Sure. It was very self-organized in the beginning. I think there was some direction from our conductor, Paul, at the time. He picked some pieces. He actually owned several arrangements of things. And then there's this other online library that you can get anything in the public domain for free, an orchestral music repository. So anything that's, I think it's over 100 years old, you can just download it, that it's uploaded there for your pleasure and rehearsal. So he had picked the music and then, you know, we read through everything together. And I think at the time it was very, hi, people that I don't know that I've never met before, but you play my instrument. Do you want to play the first part? Do you want to play the second part? Do you want to play the third? Sure, let's do it for this piece like this and we'll move forward. And it kind of naturally evolved into, you know, you kind of figure out who has the skills to play this thing, who is great at blending, and the sections self-assembled that way in the start.
Do you remember what the first piece was that you all were able to get through and it sounded pretty good?
I have pretty strong memories of a piece called Finlandia by Sibelius. I remember getting the music, pulling up a recording of it and listening to it and loving it immediately, and then being a little nervous because I was a little rusty at playing at the time. And I got to show up at rehearsal, and the trumpet, my instrument, is very loud and cuts through everything. And we've got these exposed kind of high parts, and we're all getting together. But I remember just sitting there and my heart kind of overflowing with joy at the fact that I'm playing with these string players. Like, there, some of them are so, so good, and a glorious brass section and a full woodwind section, and we're making music together. And hey, that person is a doctor and that person is a research tech in the lab next to mine. It was just a surreal experience for sure.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
When somebody leaves with a sense of that urgency, they've been called back to the clinic.
Sarah Winnius-Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra says, sometimes musicians have to leave rehearsals because they're on call.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with Sarah Winnius-Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra. How do you think being in the orchestra enhances the professional side of what you do?
It definitely makes connections between groups of people that wouldn't naturally interact. I would say I've made a lot of friends and connections in the clinical side of things. I'm much more in a laboratory setting. I don't go over to the hospitals hardly at all, unless I want to have lunch in the awesome cafeteria over at Children's Wisconsin. But it also, interestingly enough, in my own research laboratory, made a connection with one of our PhD students through the orchestra. The head of the lab, Brian Smith, who I'm also married to, we work together as scientists. We also make music together a lot. He plays a cello, and he was sitting next to an incoming medical scientist training program student named Karina, who that's a dual degree program. The students get both a medical doctorate and a PhD in eight or so years. It's a very intense program. Karina chatted informally with Brian during their times of rest between pieces or whatever. And eventually she decided to rotate in our lab group for a research rotation. And she loved it, and she ended up joining. She actually just defended her PhD last week. And it's been so rewarding. I don't think any of us would have met each other had it not been for the orchestra. Our lab group was not on her radar initially, but she's been a great addition to our research group, and it wouldn't have happened without the orchestra.
You know, you had said that you give grace to the members that might have a demanding schedule. They're busy saving lives, and they can't quite make rehearsal at times. But have you ever been in the midst of a rehearsal where any of the members have been either on call or an emergency has come in where they've had to say, excuse me, we have to leave now?
I don't know any specifics. I know some of our medical colleagues have gotten up and left abruptly in the middle of rehearsal. I don't usually end up knowing what exactly happened, but, you know, when somebody leaves with a sense of that urgency, you figure they're going over to Freidart maybe to attend to a patient, or they've been called back to the clinic.
Medicine still comes before music.
Absolutely. And all of us understand that. Priority one.
The orchestra began in 2019. And I'm sure the first several months were great and you all got together. But then COVID came along.
COVID.
How did that affect you? And I mean, did the orchestra continue? Did you take a hiatus? What happened?
All of the above. Interestingly enough, our last concert before the pandemic restrictions took place was on March 11th, 2020. And I believe that night the email came out from the leadership at the medical college that, you know, we were going to restrict gathering sizes and everything was going to be changing in the near future due to the pandemic. And a joke was made even during that performance. This might be the last public event on campus for a while. And we all kind of nervously laughed about it at the time, but it ended up turning into a reality. And yes, like everything else in the whole world, things were put on pause. Many of us were encouraged to practice our instruments, but we didn't really have a sense of when we'd be coming back to make music together. You can play string instruments wearing a mask. You cannot play wind instruments wearing a mask. So it just wasn't safe to get together as a group and play for quite some time. But what we did do that first holiday season was put together a virtual collaboration. Everybody recorded a video of themselves to our conductor, which I want to take a side point and say, by this point, our original founding conductor, returned to his native Ireland, and we hired Dr. Sasha Mandel, who's a local musician, violinist, conductor, music educator, to be our conductor. So Dr. Mandel did a video conducting to the music that we were going to be playing, and everybody recorded it. And then our director of technology put them all together, synced them up, spent a lot of time putting these videos together in a great collage and doing a virtual performance for that first COVID hiatus year.
Nobody had a more demanding job during COVID than those in the medical profession. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you were also focused on the work you were doing. It would have been difficult even to take the time to perform.
Yeah,
it would have, even.
It would have been very difficult to continue meeting the way that we had, at like the once a week for 3 hours schedule just wouldn't have been feasible during that time. But I think a lot of people found continue to find a release from the stresses of work and everything with personal practice, being able to play music on their own at home. And we all had hope and we're expecting that someday we would return to making music together.
That's interesting, though, that you said that that music was almost an escape for a lot of medical professionals during the COVID period.
I think so, and it definitely continues to be. That is the thing that comes up over and over again when you ask the students especially, and probably the clinicians too, but we talk to the students a lot because they're under super high stress part of their career, and we want to make sure that they make it out okay. And it'll come up over and over again that this is my favorite part of the week, getting together. It's a completely different way of, you know, getting together with other people and using my brain, but also feeding my soul with music, which is just very special.
When were you finally able to get back together as a group without masks and play your instruments?
I think it was 2022.
So that's a long time.
We did an outdoor concert first, outdoor at Humboldt Park in Milwaukee, where they do the Chill on the Hill. I remember we had a really big crowd again, which was so heartwarming to see all those people come out to see us on the hill. One cool thing that we do with our concerts is we don't ever charge admission. We never could for an outdoor concert, but any of our concerts, we don't charge admission, and we invite a charity partner to join us, and we'll take a free will donation, and half of it goes to our operations as the Medical College Orchestra, things like licensing music and giving our conductor a stipend, important things like that. And the other half goes to a local charity. And we've raised over $18,000 for local charities in the Milwaukee area since we started.
That's got to be rewarding in itself.
Super rewarding. And I think a lot of us end up finding out about these local charities through this program that we run, doing these charity-focused concerts.
Who selects the music you perform?
So our music director slash conductor chooses the pieces that we play, and then the board, the orchestra board, the volunteers that are, we're all members too, those of us on the board approve it, but it's mainly our music director.
Do you ever have members of the orchestra say, you know, I really wish we could play whatever, such and such?
That does come up, and it's even been included at times in a poll of orchestra members. You know, we'll do these surveys. Are you available these dates? Is there any charities you'd like to suggest for us to vote on? Are there any pieces you'd like to suggest? And I know that gets taken into consideration. Of course, it has to balance. What is your personnel? Who is available to play this concert? What is their skill set, and does it match that piece? Some of the pieces that you hear, you think, oh, that would be really fun to play. And then you find out that even professional players dread playing that because it's so complicated. And then other times you get surprised. Like, we've played Star Wars, like a medley of Star Wars songs.
Everybody wanted to be part of that.
Everybody wants to be part of that. Yes, especially us brass players. We love, playing the Imperial March or just the Star Wars theme. It's super great and super rewarding.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations,
we played the Academic Festival Overture by Brahms. That's a very pure classical piece.
Sarah Winnius-Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra tells us about the diverse selection the orchestra plays.
Now more of WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is Sarah Winnius-Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra. Do you find that classical music is more what you're drawn to when you have these performances, or are you doing a lot of other things? Like you said, the Star Wars performance.
Yeah, we do a mix in the orchestra. The Jazz Collective does mainly jazz-focused things, and in the orchestra, our concerts, we've kind of settled into a cycle per year of we do an outdoor concert, and that outdoor concert usually has more popular music, movie music, jazz-type stuff. More popular things from Disney, that kind of thing. And patriotic marches, things that are well-suited to an outdoor arena where you'd be playing loud and people are there. People bring their picnic basket and sit on the lawn and have a nice time. Then we do a holiday concert, which is holiday-focused music mainly, but also some classical pieces mixed in there. For example, we played this year the Academic Festival Overture by Brahms. That's a very classical, pure classical piece. And Simple Gifts by Aaron Copland, another classical piece. But at the same time on that concert was a medley of holiday songs that the audience could sing along with at the end to sort of kick off the Christmas season and holiday season. And then the third concert that we main concert, big concert that we do is a purely classics-based concert. So that's, you know, last year we played Pictures at an Exhibition, for example, which is a very famous orchestral work. And then there's a last concert that we do, a smaller ensembles concert during the summer that people self-form groups and play what's called chamber music. So it's maybe 3 to up to 10 players, just small works.
Do they select their own pieces then?
For that, they can ask for help, but it's entirely member-driven. So you get run the whole gamut at that concert. The last one that we had some very, very serious classical works, and then had even an arrangement of the Mario Brothers theme. So it can span whatever the group is passionate about, they will do.
Let's talk about the jazz ensemble, because
Perfect.
The orchestra is made up of about 50 people.
Yes.
But the jazz ensemble's a little different, and it's a little different, excuse the expression, vibe, than the orchestra.
Yes, absolutely. So the Jazz Collective, as we like to call ourselves, is a classic big band stage band ensemble. So if you can picture a group that has about 5 saxophones, an equivalent number of trombones and trumpets, and then a rhythm section that would include a piano, a bass player, drum set, like a drum kit, and a rhythm guitar. That's that ensemble. And that ensemble plays everything from funk to rock to classic jazz to popular music, and anything in between.
And you're part of that. How did it all come about?
The jazz group really grew out of our saxophone players at MCW. So saxophones are sometimes represented in classical music, but not often. You'll come across it once in a while. And we had a lot of sax players when the group started. And they, kind of tongue-in-cheek, formed their own group called the Black Sheep Saxes, the black sheep being the black sheep of the orchestra. And they would do their own ensembles, and they played at an MCW-specific festival one time. But they kind of wanted more. There's not all that much out there written for just a group of saxophones. But what is out there in abundance is big band, stage band type music. Every high school and college out there has a big band, stage band. So there's tons and tons of music. And we were very, very fortunate to have on staff at MCW in our educational technology department a former band director and current amazing jazz musician, plays in numerous ensembles and pit orchestras around Milwaukee area, Lynn Lewandowski. And she stepped up to more formally coalesce us into a real jazz ensemble.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Coming up with music on the spot. That's something that's
not improv.
Improvisation, yeah. It is not often done in classical music.
Sarah Winia Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra shares which members are considered the black sheep.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is Sarah Winia Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra. Now, when you say you're a real jazz ensemble, describe what you mean.
Well, what I mean is a jazz ensemble that's listening to each other across the sections. a jazz ensemble that when there's an area set aside in the piece for improvisation, that we know what to do during that. That can be a little bit of a scary space. If you know jazz music, you know, you'll watch somebody playing and they're soloing. They're coming up with music on the spot. That's something that's
not improv.
Improvisation, yeah. It is not often done in, or maybe ever, in classical music. It's a different skill set and musical vibe entirely. And Lynn is really, really good at it and has spent a lot of time working with us very intensely to learn how to do it better.
And what sort of things are you playing?
So in the Jazz Collective, we have good old big band tunes from the 30s, like In the Mood. We've got an arrangement of Baker Street, which I think is from the 1980s, maybe the 1970s.
Jerry Rafferty. I think
Jerry
that is,
Rafferty,
I
yes.
think that is the 70s.
Yep. So we've got that.
I'm an old DJ.
Yeah, you would probably know all those songs. We've got Take the A Train, that's Duke Ellington. Come Fly With Me, that's a classic. The Pink Panther, Jumping at the Woodside. Work Song, Fly Me to the Moon, Little Darling. Sweet George Brown, Corner Pocket. And there's
do you have a vocalist too?
We do not have a vocalist currently, although that would be a cool area to expand into.
So how often do you, or how much time do you personally dedicate to the orchestra versus the jazz ensemble?
So it'll depend on the season of the year and how the rehearsal schedule goes. The orchestra rehearses for 2.5 hours once a week when we're preparing for a concert. And the jazz ensemble is 45 minutes to 1.5 hours, typically when we rehearse, when we're rehearsing for a concert.
Which do you enjoy playing for more?
I really love both of these groups, so I cannot choose between my two children, I guess.
Do you find your personality changes depending on what kind of music you're playing?
Absolutely. I feel different things in my soul when I play different sorts of music. Jazz certainly is, yeah, it's a different bird than classical music is.
So I have to go back to your real profession. Your research?
Yes, I'm a research scientist. That's my day job.
So, and when you're doing that, and it's important work, there's no question about it. But does your mind ever go back to music?
Oh, all the time. I since I work in a laboratory, I have a lot of time where I'm doing experiments, and I do a lot of experiments that while I might be asking a different question, I've done the technique a lot of times, and I'm able to wear headphones and listen to music. I listen to music all day long, all different sorts, which includes in heavy rotation anything that we're preparing for in either the Jazz Collective or the orchestra.
I have to ask a question, and if you don't have an answer, that's okay. But with a lot of physicians in the orchestra, and some of whom are in the operating room, I know some doctors, when they're in the operating room, play music. Do they ever play any music from MCW's orchestra or from the jazz ensemble?
Oh, I'd have to ask. I can't give you a definitive answer, but probably they do get to choose what they operate to. That's not a myth. That's something that happens.
Get back to me on that. I'd love to know
sure.
the answer on that. All right. So you do a number of performances throughout the year, and I think you've got something coming up here in the spring.
Yes. In April, we have a Spring Classics concert. Springtime Blossoms, I think, is the official name of it. And we'll be playing L'Arlésian Suite by Bizet and also the Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, among other pieces. It'll be at Wauwatosa Presbyterian Church, April 25th at Wauwatosa Presbyterian Church, 3 o'clock p.m.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I'd be happy to become aware of any organizations that might want to be up for consideration for our charity partner.
Dr. Sarah Winnius-Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra talks about the charities they help through their performances.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is Sarah Winnius-Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra. You had mentioned before that you also like to partner with various organizations. How does an organization partner with you if they're interested in becoming part of what you do with the MCW Orchestra?
Oh, I'd be happy to become aware of any organizations that might want to be up for consideration for our charity partner. They could reach out to orchestra@mcw.edu to contact us. Typically, they're groups right now. We've found them through connections that people have in our orchestra. And we'll get several organizations and then vote on it as a group on which one we want to partner with for that concert cycle.
Now, what about where you perform? Are you open to communities or community organizations that might be interested in hosting you for a performance?
Yeah, we're always open to exploring new avenues. And, you know, it's not just the full symphony orchestra or the full big band jazz group. We have smaller string ensembles or pop-up brass ensembles, woodwind groups that will go play smaller venues. A lot of the time it's places at MCW, for example, the Cancer Center, Center for Cancer Discovery at MCW just opened. It's a brand new state-of-the-art research lab building, and they had a big grand opening this past summer, and they asked the orchestra if we could provide some music on a couple of different floors. And a lot of us said, yes, let's do that, and we formed small groups. I played piano with my two lab mates playing the cello, and we played for, I think, an hour there as part of that. And then there was a flute ensemble and a string group. Other events that we've done include the Jazz Collective played at the Elm Grove Women's Club, for they have a winter music series called Music in the Grove. The Jazz Collective has also played at the Elm Grove Beer Garden by Third Space. The Summer Beer Garden is a great place for a jazz band like that to play. So I know there's others around the area that maybe we could consider in the future as well.
So they certainly can reach out to you.
Absolutely.
What is the long-term plan for the orchestra and the jazz ensemble? Or is there one?
Oh, there definitely is the long-term plan of continuing to make music together and enriching our lives and enriching the lives of those who come to our concerts. We intend to continue to rehearse as an orchestra and as a jazz ensemble and break out smaller ensembles. Because we think it's really important. It's such an outlet for us, for our mental health, for our well-being, but also a way that we can give back to the community in a slightly different way than we're used to, which it involves medicine and science and that sort of thing.
With the growth and the development going on around the campus at the medical college, I imagine you're getting quite a few new colleagues there. Are you finding more and more people are discovering you and saying, hey, I want to be part of that too?
We are, although I still feel like we could do better. Every once in a while, like I will put in the MCW news that we are seeking musicians, you know, an email that goes out to everybody once a week, or that we are having an upcoming concert. And often at those events, for example, at the most recent outdoor concert that we had, one of our now members of the trumpet section saw it in the MCW news that it was happening and came up to me during the intermission and asked, how do I become a member of the orchestra? I just got here and I just heard about you and I'd like to join. And that's really rewarding when colleagues find us.
Is there any particular instrument that you find more challenging to find somebody who plays?
Yes. It's traditionally the joke that everybody needs, or not a joke, but traditionally every orchestra needs more viola players, for example. So there's the violins, they play the high parts, and then the violas are in a range between the violins and the cellos. And for whatever reason, I see this, I have a son who plays viola too. So it's true in he plays in the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. There's always less violas than there are cellos or violins. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe that's a research study for somebody to conduct someday.
Well, maybe you can encourage your son to go into the medical field and he can play in the orchestra.
He ironically has actually played with us because we lacked violas. During the summer when he doesn't have school and can stay up late, he has come and sat in with us in our viola section and played at the outdoor concert. And one year he came and he played at the MCW commencement with us because we were very short violas.
Is there any particular music or that you would love to have the orchestra take on, or even the jazz ensemble that you're not currently performing?
I mean, personally, I would love to do Berlioz's Symphony Fantastique. That's sort of a bucket list brass item, or maybe the Pines of Rome. In the jazz ensemble, my own personal goal is just to get better at improvising solos on my own. And so any piece that involves an improvised solo, I'm game for it.
If you were not part of the orchestra and the jazz ensemble, what would you be doing in your free time?
Well, I'd probably be doing music. I do play in other musical ensembles beyond the orchestra and jazz collective. I have a little rock band that I play in, and I play in the Milwaukee Festival Brass. So
you're in a rock band?
Yeah, it's more of a folk rock band. We play at beer gardens and little private events and everything. Yeah, I play the keys and the piano, and or excuse me, the keys, and I sing, and I'll play the trumpet at times in that group too.
I'm in awe, Sarah, that you have time to do all of that and still be a research scientist at the medical college.
I think I just don't watch TV. That's the key to it. Just fill all my free time with music.
Dr. Sarah Winia Smith, thank you so much for being here and telling us more about the MCW Orchestra.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking with Dr. Sarah Winia Smith from the Medical College of Wisconsin Orchestra. We learned how they got started and made it through COVID, and also how the skills as a musician enhance those you need to be a doctor. If you joined us late and you want to hear our entire conversation with Sarah, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins.